If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Acts chapter 16. I'm going to speak to you for a few moments. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. As many of you know, we took a trip to Ecuador, and I found something out along the way. It does not matter if you are driving. It doesn't matter if you're in an airplane. Your kids have one question. Doesn't matter if they know the exact time that we're going to arrive based on the ticket that they have in their hand. But they have one question. Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? And it doesn't matter if you sit there calmly the first few times and you show them the ticket, you show them what time it is, you explain to them that this is the difference between those two, and 5 minutes later, are we there yet? And then after a while, that are we there yet in the calm and cool, collected way that you became a great parent, because you would never just tell your kids anything except for kindness. You would never scream at them. You would never get irritated with them. And the reality is, after about the 100th one of those questions, we'll get there when we get there. We'll get there when we get there. And here is a similar story in the life of Paul. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia, and when they had region of Galatia, they had forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Malaysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Thoas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleading with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Lord, add your blessing to your word. Allow it to be life unto us this morning. And so here is Paul, and just so you know what is happening, he just has a brand new companion. His name is Timothy, a very young man, a very, very young man. And I'm sure Timothy, because we first see Timothy earlier in the book of Acts, and we have Timothy now with us, and he is a very young man, and he was a baby in the Lord, and he was young himself. And first thing Paul did was, well, if you're going to come with me, boy, you're going to have to be circumcised. So Paul circumcises himself, because any time that you begin in the ministry, there's always going to be a price for ministry, and it might not be a price many people are willing to pay. And Timothy decides to go ahead and go through with things, and I'm sure in his life he has heard about Paul. He's heard about this great church starter. He's heard about the sick being healed. He's heard about dead being raised. He's heard so many unbelievable stories. And so his first time out there, his first time with him, he finds out something really quickly. Paul has no idea where he's going. Instantaneously, Paul, hey, come on, we're going over here. And all of a sudden, no, the ship turns around. They go somewhere else. They go somewhere else. And they stopped that night. Paul, where are we going? I don't know. Paul, when are we going to get there? I don't know. Do we have much further to go, Paul? Timothy, shut up. Go to bed. And here is Paul, not sure where they're going. And I think many times in our life, we have that in our own personal lives where we're really not sure. We have an idea, we have a place maybe, but we're not really sure of the destination. We're not really sure of the outcome. We're not really sure what is going to take place next. And it seems like no matter what we do, doors continue to close. Seems like no matter how hard we try, doors continue to close in our life. And we can't go through them. And we don't know why. And we look at other people's lives, and it seems like everything they do, the doors just open wide for them, and they're able to walk through, and they're able to go through, and they're able to sail through life so much easier than we. So much easier. For whatever reason, it seems like the doors are closing and the doors are closing. But I encourage you this morning, the same God that opens those doors for you is the same God that will shut other doors. And we need to begin to praise God for shut doors, just like we begin to praise God for open doors. There are people in here that you should be thankful that person never texted you back, never returned your phone call. You should be grateful to God that you never got that job offer. You never had those things work out that you should thought thought it should work out. Because the reality is, if we really truly believe that we are being led by the Lord and led by the Spirit, then that means that there will be natural doors that will close in our life. And we have to sit there and say, okay, God, you're in control of this whole thing. You're in control of these doors in my life, and I don't have to understand it fully. But what I see, what Paul does as these doors begin to close in his life, is something that we need to take note of in our own personal life. First and foremost, he didn't throw a holy fit. Well, God, it's not fair. Well, God, you know I wanted to do this thing. You know, I've been preparing my entire life for these people to hear the voice of God into them, and all you're doing, God, is getting in my way. It's just not fair, God. This is really what I wanted to do. You don't see Paul throwing a fit about not being able to go through and walk through. And how many times have we prayed to God those same prayers of, it's not fair, God. Well, everybody else gets to do it, Lord, but it's not fair. Everybody else gets the promotions at work. Everybody else seems to be having a happy marriage. Everybody else seems to have life working out for them, Lord. It's just not fair. Everybody else has friends. But the place that you're going to might be very different from where he has called them to go to. And so we need to sit there and say, okay, God, you've closed this door. What now? You've shut this door, Lord. What now? You've stopped this relationship, Lord. What now? And we need to begin seeking God, and we need to begin seeking his voice. But another thing that Paul does is not just, he doesn't sit there and throw a fit, but what he also does is something very important. He is moving forward. He is moving. He's not sitting still. He's not standing back. He's not in a relaxed position. He's not just waiting on God and not doing anything. Rather, he is moving forward with what he believes God has called him to do. And maybe he's not exactly 100% right with everything, but the reality is at least he is moving forward where God has called him to go to. It's really hard for God to steer a parked car. It's really hard to get something in motion that is a steady in life and never wanting to move forward. And Paul was going the wrong way. God knew how to turn him around. And maybe in your life you can look back and say, man, I've just run after the wrong things and I've gone the wrong way. Maybe that's so. But if you allow yourself to be with the Holy Spirit and you allow yourself to be led by the Lord, then he can take those sidetracks and turn them into something greater if we would allow him to. Continue moving forward. I would rather fail doing something than never have ever tried anything. And we look at our past 4 years here at the church, and I was speaking with somebody this other week at karate practice, and someone was doing whatever he was doing. And he introduced himself, and I found out he was a minister, and he asked me where I served, and so I told him, and he's like, oh, you know, I know that church, and he said a few other things too about, you know, testimonies coming out of this church. And then he asked me, he said, how have y'all done it? Because he knew of the pastor of the church. And I just said, you know, you can't say of one thing besides the Spirit of the Lord, of course. But I think one of the big things is that we just tried a few different things. And yeah, maybe things didn't work out as well as we hoped. And maybe there was failures along the way, but at least we continued moving forward. At least we continued going. No, maybe things didn't work out as everything had planned, but at the same time, we continued to move forward. And the hard thing is when we look at a closed door and then we choose to say, I will never try again. And too many people and too many churches and too many ministries are at that position where they are just staring at a closed door, waiting for it to miraculously open when God has moved away and said, no, that's not your door. But God, I want it. Not your door. And I've closed it for a reason. Now it's time to move on. But God, I don't know what's going to take place, and I don't know where I'm going next, and I'm not really sure about tomorrow. Just continue going forward. We say, okay, Lord, there's one closed door. But two closed doors in one day. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And that's what Paul, church planner, church starter, healer, apostle, disciple, all these great attributes to his life, had no idea where he was going next. You know, sailing back then is a lot different than today. They weren't on a luxury cruise ship charting this thing around. They weren't on a speedboat jetting around. As they were sitting there after an exhausting day, and Paul says he lays down and he had a vision. Because he chose not just to say, I'm going to wallow in self-pity. I just need a really good pity party. That's what I need. No, you don't. You need to move on. He continued moving, and the Lord was able to talk to him and say, okay, Paul, this is where I want you to go. This is the place I need you to go to. And he had a Macedonian man came and appeared to him and said, Paul, we need you to come preach to us. And that was such a blessing to Paul because he would go there and he didn't know what was going to take place. He didn't know how the people were going to accept him. He didn't know where anything that was going to happen. But the reality, he did not fear the future. He just continued to walk towards it. And there they were. Some of his greatest supporters would be birthed out of this. Some of the greatest people that would become great teachers of the early church would be birthed out of this. Because Paul said, you know, those were closed doors. And I'll celebrate those closed doors just as much as I'm going to celebrate the door that God is opening up for me for my future. Because he also has not only your future in mind, but he has the future of the people that you're going to touch there also. And so here he is. He's able to celebrate with them. He's able to see what God is doing in his own personal life. But see, unfortunately, with doors that we walk through, is that we walk through them not single-handedly. We don't walk through them by ourselves. We walk through there with the pain of our past attached to them. And so here's all of a sudden a brand new door, a brand new opportunity, a brand new ministry, a brand new job, whatever it might be. Here it is, and we come through, and all of a sudden, here's all the baggage we're bringing with us of our past mistakes, our past pain, our past disappointments. And all of a sudden, that open door that seems so great starts looking like all the other doors of disappointment in our lives. You know, all the managers, they've always treated me bad. All the managers, they've always just, you know, had it out for me. Really, every single one of them? That's why I can't hold a job. Okay. All my relationships, they all end. And they're all abusive, and they're all angry, and they're all, so much disappointment is there with every relationship I walk into. And it's always, I can't find a good man, I can't find a good woman. Okay. Every professor, they have it out for me, man. Every one of them, they always, you know, they grade everybody else's paper so much better. But when it comes to my paper, they're so hard on me. And every single one of them, they're just so hard on me, and it's just not fair. And the problem is not because of all these other people. Maybe there are some of them out there, but not all of them. The reality is we have walked into these brand new open opportunities and open doors, and we have brought with us all of our pain, brought with us all of our disappointment. And we've said, this new relationship that's blooming inside my life, I'm not going to get so close because I've been hurting before in the past. And so rather than sending out who I am, I'll send out my best representative of who I think they want me to be. But I won't ever really want to get to know them, and I will never allow them to get to know me. And I have sat down with married couples that within the first 15 minutes, you can tell they have been married, but they have no idea who each other are. And so much is not because of the two that are married today, but it's because of all the pain that they have brought with each other within the marriage. We make these brand new opportunities, and we pervert them from the very true meaning of what God has in store for us because we have never truly allowed ourselves to be healed of the past. We've never allowed the Holy Spirit to touch our lives and to transform us and to renew us. We've never prayed the hard prayer of God, I have bitterness in my life. Lord, I have anger in my life. Lord, I have these things that I need healing from. And we sit there and we wonder why our future so much of our past. And it's because we've brought the past right into our future. We've never sought his healing. We've never sought his comfort. We've never sought his peace. And we've never prayed that hard prayer. Lord, heal me. Because hurt people will always continue to hurt people. And healed people will continue to heal people. Church, it's so important for you, wherever you are today, to seek God's healing in your life. I'm not just talking about a physical healing, but I'm talking about those emotional scars that we all carry around with us. Those emotional scars of disappointment. Those emotional scars of when somebody walked out on us. Those scars when somebody said the hurtful words to us and did the hurtful things. But it's so important for us, for our future, to say, God, heal me. The hard thing is, when we begin to pray those prayers, sometimes that healing doesn't feel like healing because we have to revisit those places. And we have to relive some of those encounters. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to touch it, then what He can do through us and for us is to bring divine healing in our lives. But Tim, it hurts. I think I shared this a few weeks ago when I was at the doctor. Some time ago, and it was having some, I think it was a pulled back. And I remember the first thing the doctor did. I'm walking in there, I can barely stand up straight. I sit down very gently in the chair. No fast movements. And he says, okay, lay down on the bed. And he grabs it. And he touches it and smashes on it. And I nearly jumped out of that bed. And I said, Doc, what are you doing? And he says, son, if I can't touch it, I can't help it. That's how we are with God. We don't want Him to touch it. Because we don't want Him to touch it, He can't help it. This morning, if you would be honest before the Lord and begin to say, God, I need healing. I need emotional healing because I don't want my next open door for me to ruin it. I don't want to walk through that next open door and to turn it into something that you never intended it to be. And to walk through that next open door with healing and wholeness in your life so that you're better able to minister to the ones that are there. They're waiting for you, but seek healing first in your life. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for what You're doing in our life, Lord. We thank You for the open doors that You give us, Lord. But Father, we also thank You for those closed doors, Lord. We thank You that You have chosen to close those doors for Your divine purpose in our life, Lord. And Lord, so we'll celebrate over those also. Lord, help us as we enter into the next season of our life, Lord, to be able to walk through those doors with healing from the pains of the past so that we're able to walk through with new life and to be able to reach out with healed hands. We thank You, Father, and we give You honor and we give You glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.